I don't want to wear your patience long on this morning, but I come with a word on today, amen, that will change your life and the life and the trajectory of your pastor as she guides in the next 365 days, amen. But sometimes we think that we are traveling this road and we get a little discouraged when we meet bumps along the way, hurdles, when we meet detours, when we meet, there's a sign that says, do not enter. Become a little discouraged, you know, and then when there's inward bickering among the members, you get a little discouraged. You're like, God, did you really call me to all of this? Did I really hear you clearly in that season? Were you just calling me to do one thing, or were you really calling me to be a shepherd over your sheep? Do I really have the anointing that David had, that when one leaves, that I will go after the bear and the lion and snatch the one sheep up out of the enemy's mouth? Did you really call me for such a time as that? Did you call me as you called Esther? Did you call me as you called Deborah? Did you call me as you called the 12, the 12 disciples and the apostles? Did you really call me? And so sometimes we get like that. And as I began to seek God, and as I began to talk with your pastor, it was only 5 minutes that we talked, and I said, yes, I will come. I heard God immediately say to me, game changer. Game changer. Oh, that God is changing the game in this season. That God is allowing men and women that are not the ordinary people, but those that have been slept on, those that have been ostracized, those that have been pushed in the back, that God is calling them to the forefront. Why? Because they are the game changer. They are the game changer in this season. So on today, that is my topic and my message for you. And you're going to keep repeating it as long as you go through some adversities, as long as the trials and tribulations, that the trouble come, you're going to say, God, I am the game changer. Why? Because I can shift the atmosphere in prayer. I can shift the atmosphere in the word. I can shift the atmosphere by my very mere presence. I am a game changer. Yeah, we bless God on today. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, the first through the 8th verse. God, we glorify you on this morning, because God, we know that something happens when we call you. God, the atmosphere shifted. Chains begin to break, God. The blinded eyes begin to make open, God. Oh, God, the deaf ears will begin to make to hear, Lord God. Oh, God, the lion will begin to walk, Lord God. And those that are on a bed of affliction, they will rise up in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, so we know that something happens when we call you on today, Lord God. Oh, God, I pray even now that you hide your Sheba behind your cross. Oh, God, that you will be glorified on today, Lord God. Oh, God, give me clarity of thoughts and utterance of speech, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, clear my brain waves even now, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, that the dialogue that you have given up to me may be clear and precise on today, Lord God. Oh, God, we pray even now that we will not leave this place the same way we came, God. Oh, God, that we pull back to the gas station to be sealed again with your power on today, Lord God. And Lord God, as we fill up on today, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we know that we are a game shifter, an atmosphere changer. Oh, God, a demon slayer, a giant killer on today. And God, we thank you and we honor you on today. And God, we counsel every assignment of the enemy, even now, by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we charge this atmosphere. We send fire for fire even now in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Amen. So very quickly in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, we're going to read the first through the 8th verse. And the word of God reads as thus. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does not my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed and his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Yes. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve the posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. I just want to reread on this morning that 8th verse. And it says, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of his houses, and a ruler throughout all the land. You may be seated if you can. I don't plan to be before you long. I already gave you that introduction. So whatever God is going to do, if it's going to take you time to get on the train, I admonish you to do it very quickly, because we'll be pulling back up into the train station very soon. Here in this Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 45th chapter, and the 8th verse, I talked to you, I gave you the topic for today to let you know that you are a game changer. And because you are a game changer, that means that you are in a season where things are shifting. You are in a season where it feels like there is, it's always one thing after the other. It feels like there is some type of tension in the air, and you're not understanding why everything is heating up against you, why you feel like your back is against the wall. Well, I come to help you on today, Minister Joshua. I come to let you know that you are a game changer, Pastor Tamara. You felt like you didn't want to do this thing, but God set you up for such a time as this. And so, in this particular passage of scripture in Genesis, we meet Joseph about the 37th chapter. And Joseph comes to his father. He is one of the youngest sons of Jacob. And so he comes to him, and Jacob had already signed him. He already put a mark on him. Why? Because he identified him as different. The scriptures don't tell me that that Jacob made his other sons a coat of many colors, but it identifies specifically that Joshua was made a coat of many colors, meaning that the father was already setting up the division in the home, meaning because the other brothers was probably saying, why? I didn't get a coat. How are you going to get him a coat and not give me a coat? And why is his coat of many colors? And you just gave me some sheep to look after. You just told me to go out into the field, but you identify him as being special. And so the Bible says that Jacob made this coat of many colors, and because he made the coat of many colors, then Joshua had a dream. It says that Joshua dreamed, and he dreamed that the staffs were bowing down to him. He dreamed that not only was the mother and father staff, but there was the brother staff around him. So the Bible says he go on and tell him his dream. And we always say, be careful who you tell your story to, because they might use it against you, but I come to help you on today. You might say it's an asinine, right? That it's a contradiction that I shouldn't tell, but there are times where God will strategically set you up in the enemy's camp. He will set you up in the enemy's camp so that you can tell the dream. Why? Because the enemy has to be used in order for you to get to where you need to be for the dream to come to fruition. So sometimes God will tell you to open up your mouth. Sometimes God will tell you to expose the very thing that you were trying to hear hide in your heart. Why? Because God is going to use the enemy to get you where you need to be. That's why the word says that God will make your enemies your footstool. That's why the word says that God will prepare a table before you went in the presence of your enemies. God said that he will cause your foot to do what? Crush the enemy's head. So in order for all of that to happen, there has to be a setup. That you got to set yourself up in the enemy's camp. Because why? If Joseph did not tell the brothers the dream, he will still be waiting for the manifestation. But he had to tell them why, because of that part of his journey. That's why we get here to this 45th chapter. He said that, listen, you are not holding no animosity against you. Why? Because it was what God wanted.
Right.
Come on, Pastor.
And so, the scripture goes on and says that in that 37th chapter, that Jacob sends Joshua out and said, go check on your brothers. So he goes one place and cannot find them. And he finds out that they are someplace else. And so he travels along. And as they see him, Pastor, in the far distance, they plot to kill him. They plotted to take his very life. Why? Because he told them. It was two things. He told them his dream, and he had a coat of many colors. Sometimes you don't understand why the enemy is after you so bad. He knows that there is an anointing on your life. And when you start walking into your purpose that God has called you to, that's why he teed up the attack on you, because if he feels like he can suffocate you with your finances, he feels like he can suffocate you with anxiety. If he feels like he can suffocate you with depression. If he feels like he can suffocate you with sickness and disease. If he feels like he can suffocate you with adversity on your job, then you will walk away from your purpose. But I come to let you know on today that you are a game changer. That even in the midst of all of that, that God has allowed you to change the game. So they saw him.
My God.
And they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and kill this joker because I'm the who he think he is.
Right.
It didn't even matter that that was their brother.
Right.
It didn't even concern them that they had the same DNA.
Right.
They had, and that's what happens in the church. We sing, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire baptized. We're running for Jesus and we're on the Lord's side and we got the same DNA, but we stabbing each other in the back. We're talking about each other. We are stepping on their heads. We are making sure that the scandal is even magnified 1,000 times more. But I come to tell you, even with the same DNA, that God is allowing those remnants to change the game on today. Instead of them saying, Minister Simmons, let's talk to our brother. Let's reason with our brother. Let's find out what it is that's on his mind. What is he talking about? Like what we know he's a special son. Is he really that special that he's going to? Can you just give us some more clarity about? But they didn't even do that, Pastor. They just said, we're going to kill him because who do he think he is? reason why. That's why he could not go back. So the Bible says that he is thrown into this pit. And after he's thrown into the pit, the Ishmaelites,
right?
They come by. And they said, listen, let me just sell you this good one right here. We're going to take this coat and throw some blood on it and rip it and tell the father some animals got to it. But what the brothers didn't know is that the Ishmaelites ain't want nothing to do with them.
Nope.
They was going to go ahead and take him and travel him to his next destiny. Why? Because they knew that there was already animosity between the brothers.
Right.
Look, check it out.
There,
and there's right, already animosity. Right. So this is their nephew, their uncle's. He is his uncle's. That he was sold to his uncle's children. Huh? And so they didn't want no parts of it. So they said, you know what? We're going to be a part of the destiny and shift him. Huh? And so they shifted him. Huh? And so sometimes, huh, there's some people that will not, they will come through the doors, huh? But they're not destined to stay here. They are shifters. Huh? That means they're going to shift every way, huh, that you will get, be able to get to the next dimension that God is calling you to. Huh? That God is sending the shifters, huh, to shift the ministry to the next dimension, to the next place that he desired it for it to be. Why? Because there's no more stagnation is behind you, but destiny is in front of you. And so they sell him. The Ishmaelites was like, let's get him out of our hands. We don't want no parts of this. They take him to Potiphar's house and say, yeah, this is a good slave for you. Here you go. Have him do whatever you want, because the blood will not be on our hands with their craziness. I know them brothers crazy. They're going to put him in a pit, then sell him to us. That's how it be sometimes, even in the church. We think it's going to be like that on the outside. Listen, the world is bothered by us because we got more world confusion in the inside of the church. So that's why they won't come inside the church, because we doing the same craziness that they doing outside. Why am I coming inside and y'all still bickering, fighting, arguing, cussing, fussing, drinking, this, that, and the other? Why am I coming inside the church? So the Ishmaelites was, listen, y'all, you have them because they're crazy, and I'm not going to have that blood on my hands. And so sometimes that's how God has to treat us. Say, listen, you can't stay here. You're just traveling through. And as you travel through, you're getting closer to your destiny. So he was a game changer.
Yes.
And so now we know Joseph's journey.
That's just the history.
Joseph goes to Potiphar's house. He's lied on by the wife, but remember, it's all of God's purpose. So the lies is a part of God's purpose. And so he goes to Potiphar's house. The wife lied. He goes to jail. And while he's in the jail, but the best part of it, it says that God favored Joseph every place.
Even
in the pit, God favored him. Even in Potiphar's house, the favor was so thick that everything that Potiphar decided to do, it prospered. Right. Check the word. It prospered. His cattle prospered. His fields yielded more than he expected. Everything that he had began to multiply. So sometimes you think that as you travel, and this is not your destination, your conclusion to the destination, but every place you've been to, it has been blessed. Every place that you put your feet at, it has been blessed. And even the places that God did not tell you to go to, why? Because the blessings followed you. That place was still yet what? Blessed.
Jesus.
And so the word says that he's at Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lied. He goes to the jail, and while he's at the jail, he meets the baker and the butler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and they revealed their dream unto him. He interprets the dream, and the dream came to pass. And while he was in the jail, he was like the ruler of the jail. He was one of the guards, and not treated as a prisoner. Why? Because every place he went was blessed. And because it was blessed, that meant that God's presence was upon him. That means God's presence was heavy. That means God's presence was manifested glory upon every place that he went to. So even in the midst of a jail situation, God's presence was still there. So the Bible goes on to say that it was about a few years later that Pharaoh has a dream. And they remembered that there was somebody in the jail that interpreted the dream, and it did come to pass. And so now we thinking that the pit was the worst place. We thinking that Potiphar's house, this might be the come up where the dream might come to pass, but that wasn't the come up where the dream came to pass. Then he went to the jail, and you're like, oh my God, it ain't gonna never happen. I don't know what Joshua was dreaming about, but he better go dream again and ask God, God, did you really say that? Can you give me clarity on that dream? I'm not even in no place to be to have my father and my brothers coming back. They gonna come and bow down to me in the jailhouse? Where they gonna do that at? I could imagine, but it doesn't. The scripture does not tell us that even in the midst of all of that, that Joshua complained. He just traveled through because he knew that there was destiny in front of him and stagnation was behind him. So he knew that he could no longer go back to stagnation, but he had to move towards destiny. And so that's why some of us, we will go back to the things that almost killed us. Why? Because we are comfortable and content in those places. And God is saying, I'm taking you to the deep part of the water. When, yes, I know you can't swim. I know you might think you might drown. But I come to let you know that you will not drown in this season. Why? Because you are a game changer. And because you are a game changer, I have set the table so high that everything will work out for your good. That's why the Bible says that all things do work together for the good of them that are called by the Lord, called according to his purpose. And so... they remember Joshua in the jail.
Right.
They come get him and they say, Pharaoh has this dream. Come on now, you stand up. You remember you interpret the dream and it came to pass. One was restored and one was killed.
Yeah.
And so it says that he interprets the dream, and because he interprets the dream, this is the setup. He interprets the dream. And because he interpreted the dream, now Pharaoh makes him a ruler over his country.
My God.
Not when you go back and you research it, that he is intermingling with a nation that looks down on them.
Right.
And he's getting authority over the ones that should be having authority over him. And that's how the game will change. The one thing, the things that people be like, oh, they can't get that position. They don't have the education. They don't have the education. They don't meet the standards. They don't meet the checks off, or they don't check off all the boxes on the checklist. But God has strategically set you up so that you will be in the place where they thought that they were going to rule over you. But God will allow you to have prominence over them. That God will allow you to have authority over them. So now we get here to this 45th chapter. I told you that the train was not going to take long. And I'm getting ready to take my seat in about 2 more minutes. Now we get here to this 45th chapter. And the word of the Lord says that before you get to the 45th, I believe around the 42nd is when he first saw his brothers. When he first saw them, he knew, it says that he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. How could you not recognize your brother or sister? That's because God changed his countenance. That's because God did a new reintroduction of who Joseph was. and wonders.
Yes, God.
The 45th chapter. His countenance changed.
My God.
Your countenance has changed.
And so.
Come on. Jesus.
Rabbi Kanana Shinsetu. New levels. Joshua meets them, his countenance changed. And God said, look at that. I believe it's the 42nd chapter that God is changing your very countenance. That people won't be able to treat you the way they used to treat you as a minister.
Whoa.
That they won't be able to walk over you when you were minister.
Whoa.
But God is giving you authority as pastor.
Yes.
That they will recognize who he has called you to be. Why? Because your countenance has changed. That's why they say, I don't recognize. Is that really her? I don't recognize her. But God said they're not supposed to recognize who he has created you to be in this season.
Oh my God.
So his countenance changed. at the 45th chapter, I'm taking my seat. It says that Joseph, after they went and got Benjamin, after he set them up and put his cup in Benjamin's back, in his bag, and he sent the army to arrest them, they come back and he tells them to make a feast for them. Because now he's about to reveal himself to them.
Whoa. Jesus.
And so, that's why he says to them, they become a little weary because they knew they plotted to kill him. And you've had some people become weary.
Come on.
Because they thought you came back for revenge. But you're coming back to heal and to restore them.
Come on. Confirm his word. Come on. Jesus.
And so.
My God.
That 8th verse says. So now. It was not you who sent me here.
But God.
But God.
Come on. Jesus.
So now it wasn't the haters, the enemies, even the ones that were pushing you. It wasn't them that sent you here.
It was a setup.
But God. That's why he came back to them after Jacob died and said, were I not in the place of God?
Right.
The 50th chapter, I believe it's the 17th through the 19th verse. He said, but you meant it for evil.
But God
yes. Turned it around and made it work out for my good.
Ooh, look at this.
So let me read that to you one more time, Pastor, and then I'm going to take my seat. So now it was not you who sent me here. So when they start talking, I'm like, yeah. Your response said, so it was not you who sent me here.
It wasn't them.
God used you. You got to turn it around on the enemy. I'm not mad at you, boo.
Come on.
I love you. And don't hit him with, I love you with the love of Jesus, but say, I love you. Why? Because we got to get so that we love our enemies, not with the love of Jesus, but with the true agape love. That I love you, and because I love you, it was not you, but it was God that used you to propel me to my destiny.
That's it.
So you are a game changer.
Game changer.
And I'm going to close with this.
Jesus.
My God.
I remember. My grandfather always made sure we had the latest game consoles.
Come on,
talk. We had the Atari,
ColecoVision,
the 64, everyone that came out, my grandfather got it.
Yes.
And every game we wanted, he got for us.
Yes.
And there was one game, Minister, called Mortal Kombat. And Mortal Kombat, you needed to know the combinations to use the power move. You had to have that Atari, the game console, what is it called? The controller. You had to know how to hit those buttons at the right time. It was 2 buttons on the front and the other. You had to know when I hit them in the cop with the right move, it was going to send the kill move to change the game, right? And so the Bible, that not inside in the Bible, but the concept of the game was that once I got Then there will come a voice across the same. There will come a voice that will come across. And the voice will say, now finish him. Because you are a game changer. God has given you the authority to finish the enemy on today. He has the voice to help you to be able to crack in the season. So walk into the heads. Why? Because you are a game changer and you need to finish him. Game changer.
Jesus.
Finish him. That's what God is saying. Finish the enemy. You're fighting, but you're winning.
Yes. Yes.
And because you're fighting and winning, you can finish him. Yes, the enemy gets some good moves, because that is the whole concept of Mortal Kombat. That the enemy got some good moves and it stings you. And you be like, whoa. But then you get the moves back and you get your energy back up, right? You get your energy back up through the word of God. And as you get your enemy energy back up and you don't use that console to hit, keep putting them power moves in, and it's the word of God. God, by your stripes, I'm healed, God. We are walking in divine alignment with abundant life, Lord God. Lord God, I believe, I declare the word over my church. I declare the word over my life. I declare the word over my husband's life. I declare the word over my children's life. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. And God, even if the ditch is digged, Lord God, that you will allow the one who dug the ditch to fall in it first, Lord God. God, I decree your word. Why? Because I am a finisher. You told me I am a game changer. So God, I'm using your word against the very attacks of the enemy. And Lord God, I pray even now, God. Oh God, just as you did in Numbers 23 and 24, every mantle and altar that was established against me with my name on it, even if it's in the underworld with my name written on it, God, I send your fire even now to destroy it by the blood of Jesus. I send your fire to blind the eyesight in the head of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. That's how you finish the enemy. By not quitting and giving up.
Yes, God.
Finish him.
Hallelujah.
By not grumbling and complaining about the task in front of you. Hallelujah. But finish him and say, God, give me divine eyesight in this season that I may be able to navigate the way that you desire for me to do in this season. God, listen, it's hard. It looks hard. It feels hard. Yeah. God, I even feel like I'm alone in this hour. But God, because you called me to be a game changer, give me divine instructions. That's how you finish the enemy.
Finish him.
You are a game changer.
Hallelujah.
My God.
And abundance shall be a game changer.
Yes.
And everyone that's attached to you shall be a game changer.
Yes, God.